Yeah, just in everything. So, amen, 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 amen. Today's message is called The Condition of Your Heart. And we say amen, but what it did to me, The Condition of Your Heart. And Pastor Efwa touched on something. She highlighted last week the burden of the people. But there was a specific thing she said, and it was because there is a people God wishes to reach rather than the establishment of self. And it really allowed me to highlight and to understand what does it mean when we say the establishment of self. And it's really easy for the glorification of man in the midst of serving God. But I believe God was really highlighting the condition of the heart behind what it is that you do in terms of your service to him. So today, as I touch on the condition of the heart, it's about recognizing Jesus's heart. It's about recognizing the Lord's heart and his desire for us to literally live in his ways above anything that we may think, anything that we may fathom, anything that we may even desire for oneself. And to understand that it's not about the acknowledgement or the establishment of self, but the establishment of his name to be raised above any other name. And so the Lord literally allowed me to assess myself before I came to preach anything. And if I can ask us all to go to Psalms 51, verse 10. And this is the scripture that came to my mind straight away. And it's, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And it seems like a very simple message, I guess, like creating me a pure heart. What does it mean to have a pure heart? What does it mean to be like, to live for God, or to have your heart and desire for the Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me? It's so interesting. A couple of weeks ago, Chisholm was teaching in small groups, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit and what it means to actually understand and encounter the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And something that everyone kind of came out of the lesson learning was that you never stop learning when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You never stop understanding a new desire that maybe God lays on your heart, or a new revelation, should I say, that God lays on your heart when it comes to the Spirit. So really understanding that God is going to renew a steadfast spirit within me is that the old is passed away, what is dead is passed away, what is no longer revived, what is no longer pleasing to his spirit, what is no longer pleasing to him, should literally die in the midst of his presence. And he will literally give you the strength, he will give you the boldness, he will equip you in all the needs, in all your needs, and in everything that he desires to fulfill through you. And so when it came to the condition of the heart, I had to kind of backtrack and say, like, okay, well, what is the purpose of the heart? And the purpose of the heart is literally to keep blood flowing around your body, if I'm correct. Yeah, science people, okay, cool. To keep blood flowing around your body. But also, like, it flows to your brain as well, right? So without blood flowing, like, smoothly through your body, your heart is not functioning correctly. And when a heart malfunctions, you're dead, basically, right? And so for me, correct, science people? Okay, cool. Yeah, you're basically dead. And I really had to ask the Lord, like, okay, so where does the posture of my heart have to be in order to be pleasing to you? because the essence of my heart is for you. Before I can learn how to love others, I needed to have encountered you. Before I can learn how to be of service to people or to even have a sense of burden for anyone, I need to have got that from you. And it's like when we say the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher, we understand that we understand that God is a triune God, right? So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is no understanding or appreciating the Holy Spirit without acknowledging the Father, without acknowledging the Son. And so it's understanding that that three in one is literally also almost the essence and the purpose of your heart, where your heart has to be. And in order for your heart to have that posture of love or that desire to really be equipped in a place where you can serve him wholeheartedly, you no longer look at yourself, you no longer look at what is convenient for you, you no longer look at what is gonna allow people to be like, "Wow, Pastor Jen, you're amazing." Like, it's not about you anymore. It's not about the desire of self. And I say this because it's so easy that even in the sense of like being selfless when it comes to ministry, or thinking that you're doing a great job when it comes to ministry, and this is not me saying that you're not doing a great job, but I think, yeah, like understanding that you can be serving him and you can miss it. You can be serving him and you can miss him. But the essence of what we're doing is so that we all encounter him. It's not so that we just get the accolades from men, but then when we encounter him face to face, he's like, "You didn't know me," you know? So really understanding, like, what does your service to him truly mean? And what is the heart behind your service? If the heart behind your service is for the proclamation of self or for the glorification of man, then you've missed the essence of who Jesus was, and you've missed the essence of what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. Because the Holy Spirit is never going to ask you to do something that is pleasing to you, that is pleasing for, like, for you to just be like, yeah, I'm that guy, I'm that girl. Like, it's not about you. It's always for the advancement of the kingdom. It's always for the advancement of his will above your will. And so even as I stand here, Heavenly Father, I ask you that everything that comes from me, oh God, may be from you and not from myself. And it's literally you understanding that even when you're in the midst of non-believers, are you evangelizing so that you can say, "Yeah, I won a soul today"? Or are you evangelizing so you can say, "The kingdom won a soul today"? Because, like, we miss it, and it's so easy to get excited or so easy to feel like you're doing something that you're not actually really doing. Like, I always say to people in my house that, you know, it's not about the applause and it's not about the recognition of what you're meant to do. Does that make sense? And it's interesting because me and Nana were having a conversation about, like, roles and responsibilities, and, you know, like, he's not gonna clap for me for something I'm meant to do as my role. And it reminded me of like what I'm preaching about, because, for example, if I'm taking care of a home and I clean the living room, like, it's not gonna come and clap for me that I've cleaned the living room. Might acknowledge that it's now clean, but he's not, do you get what I mean? Like, I don't get a gift because I've cleaned the living room. And it's the same thing, like, he's not gonna get a gift because he's a provider. That's what you're meant to do. Do you get what I mean? Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that's what I'm saying. So there's different, like, I can appreciate and I can acknowledge there's different roles and responsibilities, right? And sometimes when you're playing your responsibility, you can miss the fact that you might feel like your responsibility has become a bit overwhelming. And so in that, like, is no one seeing me? Like, but I'm always doing this, I'm always doing that. Like, maybe for some of you, it's you arrive early every week and you're always the one setting up the chairs. For some of you, you come on a Saturday and you come on a Sunday early. Do you see what I mean? And you're always the one doing what you need to do. But in that, if your response is, where is my applaud, then you've missed it. Like, it should come naturally from the people that see. The people, God will always allow someone to see and someone to acknowledge. And the appreciation should come. I'm not saying that appreciation shouldn't come. But if you do it so that you can be appreciated, then you're not doing it from a sincere place. Does that make sense? Like, if I'm dropping someone home all the time just so they can say, oh yeah, Pastor Jen always drops me home, like, what does that do for me? It doesn't do anything for me. But if I do it because I just know this is a need and I'm able to serve in this need and I'm able to help this person, anything that comes from it is like a bonus, is like a surplus, right? And that's what we're meant to do for one another. We're meant to add on. We're meant to add value. We're not meant to subtract. And so if we all have the mindset and we all have that heart posture of adding on, no one feels like they're taken from, because it means you're playing the role of the arm, you're playing the role of the hand, you're playing the role of the foot, you're playing the role of the lungs. It's like we're all functioning amongst one another. So God was really just highlighting that to me. And then he took me to Luke 12:34. And I'll read in the NIV version. For where my treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I was like, God, why are you giving me these one-liners? I want like a whole like passage, right? And that it will make sense at the end. But yeah, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it really reminded me of this thing where when you value something in life, right? There's a way in which you treat it. There's a way in which you care for it. There's a way in which you literally, like, I guess, respond to that thing, whether it be a child, whether it be your brand new car, whether it be like your room that you just redecorated. You know, like before you redecorate a room, everything, mess everywhere, and you just add on to the mess. But once you redecorate something, it's like, okay, now I have to have a routine of keeping it clean or keeping it in a like strategic way, right? So yeah, like what you care for and what you value, there's a different way in how you approach that thing or how you like want to kind of keep that thing in the same position, or kind of have the same respect for it, like, and you keep it going. It doesn't depreciate over time, even though it may depreciate in value for other people. If it's something you genuinely care about and something you genuinely see as like, I value this thing, it doesn't lose appreciation, or it doesn't depreciate in your eyes, is what I'm trying to mention. And that's the same way in terms of like our heart posture towards God. It can't be, Tophamy, I believe, she asked a question at the beginning of service, and it was like, what did you get from last week's service, right? And I was mentioning to Pastor Paul that to have this thing that Pastor Efwa kindly mentioned as burden is to also understand that there's no temporary fix. There's no temporary, like, let's get excited. Like, yeah. Like, I've got burden for people, but my solution is very temporary. Like, in the midst of having a burden for people, it means that God is revealing to you where you stand in this body, right? And where you stand in this body means that you don't do things based off of like, okay, yeah, I have a burden, so I'm going to get to church early next week. And then when you get to church early next week, that's it. That was your burden. Do you see what I mean? And it's interesting because I think there's been many shifts over the last couple of months in regards to this house. And there's been many different things in regards to like people stepping up or people taking on responsibilities or roles or your service kind of looking differently from maybe how you first came in. But when Reverend Nee became Reverend Nee, there was also a sense of like acknowledgement of like, okay, cool. I have a position where I also need to be somebody for somebody, right? And it's interesting because you will get people who will naturally get it, not because they've been instructed to get it, but you'll get people who just have a desire to, I want to be of use, I want to be helpful, I want to help in the vision that I believe in, because I don't believe that anyone comes here every Sunday because they don't believe in the vision. Like, it doesn't make sense. That's just a waste of your time. It doesn't make sense. Like, to be a part of something means that, you know, like, you understand what you're a part of. You understand what the vision is. You understand what, like, the whole momentum or the whole drive of everything everyone is doing. I don't come here because of Reverend Nee. I can be impacted by Reverend Nee every Sunday, but I come here because I acknowledge who God is for me. And so I believe us as leaders and the family heads and so forth, and even like members amongst ourselves, we understand that it's not about one man standing here. It's not about one woman standing here, but it's literally about the revelation of Jesus and what that does for us. Because if I know Jesus so well, but I can never speak about him when I leave this building, then do I really know him? If I know Jesus so well, but when I encounter people, they're not encountering him, then do I really know him? Does that make sense? And it's not just for the believers. It's not just for those who already know him. It's for those who you encounter. We're called to be the light of this world. So being the light means that, you know, when you step into darkness, your light shines, right? You are the light. And so that leads me on to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And I read, now when we look at the heart in scripture, it is considered the seat of life, of strength, or strength. Sorry, these are my points. Now, when we look at the heart in scripture, it is considered the seat of life or strength. It is important because everything flows from it, and our love for God and people also flows from it. So the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Can you go on to the next verse for me, please? The Lord search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Next verse. Like a partridge that hatches eggs, it did not lay, are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them, and in the end, they will prove to be fools. And so this scripture really highlighted to me that there are times where you can be deceived by your good works. You can be deceived by like doing good, or think that because you're doing good, that's where your heart posture is. It's in a place of sacrifice, or it's in a place of goodwill or good gest to God, right? But really understanding, what does it look like when you're faced in adversity? What does it look like when you're facing the ugly? What does it look like when things aren't going your way? What does it look like when the very things that you've prayed for, you've labored for, or you've literally given your last for, in order for other people to have, you're no longer seeing the fruits of your service? Does that make sense? Or maybe I shouldn't say the fruits of your service, but you're not seeing it immediately. You're not seeing it in the time frame that maybe you boxed God in. You're not seeing it in the time that you said like, okay, yeah, I've been serving for a year and a half. Like, by now, this is where I should be, or this is what I wanted to see. What does it look like? Is your heart posture still in that place where you can say, God, over to you, like none of me and more of you? And I think these are things that we all fall short for. We're all guilty of that. At times we can be doing things And, you know, we get frustrated. We're human beings. We get frustrated. We get tired. We think, okay, like, when? Like, okay, like, I've been patient. I'm trying. I've been here. I've been doing all the right things. I've been ticking the boxes of what people say I should tick, basically. Or I've looked at other people who have gone ahead of me or before me, and this was the strategy they did, and it got them there. But is that the strategy God gave to you? You know, so really understanding that this heart thing is not something that can be faked. It's not something that you can temporarily claim that, yeah, like my heart is just for God, but your actions aren't, you know, or like you can't pretend. And I think not the crazy thing, but the beautiful thing about God is he's the one person that you cannot fool, you know? And the scripture even basically mentions that in believing that you are doing all these things, you are the actual fool, you know? And it's almost like shooting yourself. Because what you're doing is you're making it look like you don't need the inner work, but we all need the inner work. You know, we all need the inner work. That it's God who raises man. It's not man who raises himself. And I think even whatever position you're in, whether it's you standing here preaching to everyone, whether it's you serving at the back with the tech, whether it's you on protocol, whatever it is, like, it's to acknowledge, like, okay, what does it mean to have the correct posture to do this for God, to do this service for God? Because it requires an intimate thing between you and him. It requires you valuing his voice in that moment. We can all hear from God. It doesn't take me to come to you and say, this is what God is saying concerning, no. Like, go back, even if someone, go back to God. What is God saying to you? You know, like, what has God said concerning your service? Have you even asked God about what he's saying concerning your service? Have you asked God, like, what are you currently not pleased about with me? What are the things I need to unpick? What are the things I need to unravel? Where am I falling short? What are the things that I think I'm doing great at, but actually, like, you're not impressed with, you know? And I think these are things that God was really highlighting to me in terms of, like, his house and the church really establishing that the heart helps reveal and identify a new identity. And so when God is speaking and when God is moving, there's no way that we can remain the same. And when we acknowledge him and we acknowledge his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts, then it means that we no longer want to stay the same. And even in our comfortability of being good or like doing things well, we acknowledge that there's so much more beyond us. There's so much more that the Spirit is yet to teach us. There's so much more that is yet to be revealed through our identity, through character. And, you know, through the understanding of this thing that we call character, character must be refined. With the daily teachings of the Holy Spirit, our characters cannot remain the same. The ugly must be revealed. And when the ugly is revealed, correction comes. When correction comes, it means there's gonna be a provoking, there's gonna be moments where you're not liking how the correction is coming, but you understand that actually this is for the greater good. This is literally for the body of Christ. This is for the church, right? And it's not because I don't stand here because I am the perfect example or I am even the example. I stand here because I know the example is Christ. And so as we seek his face, we seek the understanding that what did he embody? When we look at the life of Jesus, what did his heart show us? You know, he actually knew, it's so mad that he knew who he was. Even when people doubted him, there are moments where us as believers, we don't even fully acknowledge and remember who we are, right? But he always knew who he was. There was never a moment where he didn't know that he was the Son of God. There was never a moment where he didn't know that literally where he goes, his spirit is with him. Like, he acknowledged and knew that he was greater. But in the midst of people, he put himself as the lesser one. And even those who didn't acknowledge him or failed to recognize that he was greater, that didn't move him. That didn't shake him or allow him to stumble or make him feel like, why am I doing this thing? Or like, okay, why am I healing them? Why am I allowing them to come out of comfort? Why am I curing these diseases? Why am I being the provider? Why am I doing all of these things? Because he understood his call. And he understood his call was greater than himself. Like, he understood that even in adversity, even to the very moment that he would literally be left or be denied by men, he still acknowledged that, you know what, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, because it's about them. I'm doing this for the greater good of them and for those who are yet to come, so that me and you can stand here and we can acknowledge him. You know, it wasn't about the people he could see in that very moment. It wasn't even about the people who would applaud him in that very moment. It was literally about the understanding of, this is my mission, and I'm here to fulfill a mission. I'm here to fulfill what God has spoken. I'm here to fulfill what started in the beginning, the promise from the very beginning. And it made me ask myself, like, we all quote Jeremiah 29:11, you know, for he knows the plans for you are great, of good, blah, blah, blah. But do you actually acknowledge that his plans are greater than your plans? Yeah. Do you actually acknowledge that, you know, when things are not going well, your heart posture for him must literally be so fixed that it's, what's the word when something can't be, I don't know the word, but yeah, basically, like, you cannot penetrate what is already established, right? And what's already concrete, because you acknowledge and you understand that he has gone ahead of you. You acknowledge and you understand that everything that he does is for your greater good. And so you don't want to step outside of alignment of him. You want to be in alignment with him. You want to acknowledge that, Lord, wherever my heart is, has been like penetrated in an incorrect way, or has flaws that do not align to you, help me fix myself to you. Help me fix my eyes on you. Help me fix my understanding to your revelation, not my own. And as I continue to seek you, allow it to be revealed in me that there is a change, not so that I can be boastful, not so that I can be proud, but so that I can acknowledge that it is you that has done the work. Because it's also easy for you to think, okay, cool, this is what I've been doing, this is what I've said, this is what I've spoken, but actually, okay, this is how I have to change it. This is what the Lord is asking me to do. This is what the Lord is now saying about me. And in you doing those changes, or in you doing those new things, you can now think, okay, wow, like, God has seen me. God has seen that there's been a change. God has seen that I'm now doing the things from him. I'm not doing it from myself anymore. But it can still be with the wrong agenda without acknowledging it. So it's not about you ever getting complacent or getting comfortable. You know, sometimes when we like to say, like, yeah, don't get too comfortable around me. Like, imagine how Jesus feels. Like, we come into his presence. Some of us, a certain song will come on, we know straight, yeah, on my knees. Some of us, a certain song will come on, we know like, yeah, this one, hands up, right? But the heart, and I'm not saying those things are bad, but what I'm saying is like, it's easy to be in the midst of him and to still not truly encounter him the way he wants you to encounter him. Because you get familiar or you become complacent with actually allowing the Spirit to move you. And so in you becoming complacent, you do what you see people doing, or you do what you think, yeah, like the glory has come. This is how I have to behave, you know? But it's not that. It's not that, and it will never be that. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so if we can turn to Colossians 1, 9 to 14 for me, please. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And the reason why I brought up this scripture actually is because as I was reflecting, sometimes our hearts can be manipulated by our thoughts. And the reason why it's manipulated by our thoughts is because we get to a place where we no longer think that we can be changed. We no longer think that we have the ability to really do this thing, like really, really serve him wholeheartedly. And so in our complacency, or in us feeling like we are lesser than, or we're not able to, we allow sin, or we allow the very things that we deem as sin and that he deems as sin to now overtake us in our thinking. So because we remember that, okay, we did this and it really wasn't pleasing to God, or maybe that thing has now become like a stronghold over you, you now think that like you cannot shift from that place to that encounter with God. And so your heart almost becomes hardened in the place of like, okay, I can't really go beyond this because I keep on falling short, or God has said this, but there's a repetitive sin going on, or there's something that's happening that's not allowing me to feel like God is moving in my life, or there's something that's happening that is making me feel like I'm not truly encountering him. So now every word that God is speaking, you're now questioning, is it God? Who is it coming from? Where is it coming from? And you begin to forget who he called you to be. You begin to forget that sin has no hold on you. You begin to forget that you've already been set free. And so your mind is very like naive to the fact that you believe the devil has a greater power, if that makes sense. So as you're walking in service, or you're doing the things that you're doing, in the back of your mind, you now believe like, yeah, like he's given us dominion, but is it really for me? Like, is it me that's encountering it? And I believe this scripture helped me understand that. What you have in your heart is also a revelation of your mind. And so as your heart speaks, your mind speaks, your thoughts speak, right? And it flows from it. And so the moment you begin to profess the things that God has spoken over you, you begin to become more aligned to what he has said concerning you. And as you become more aligned to what he has said concerning you, you begin to walk in that. And as you walk in that, it means that you become an example to others that they can also walk in it. And so it's not that there won't be moments where you fall short. It's not that there won't be moments where you even feel lesser than. But you acknowledge that your strength and your even your obedience comes from him and comes from the acknowledgement of who he is and who he was. And understanding that as his heart is still for us, that's where you want your heart to be in alignment with. So as you journey with him, you understand that it's not a journey that you journey till, you know, 10 steps and then you stop. You journey with him because you understand it's a continuous journey. So even when you fall short, you acknowledge like, yeah, I did fall short in this area, but I've gone to God and now I start again. It doesn't even mean that you start from the very beginning. You pick up where you left off and you say, okay, God, I'm gonna get into my word. I'm gonna be in my secret place. I'm gonna actually seek your face, right? Tophamy reminded us of, even though we all know, but reminded us, or I think it was Tophamy, or it might have been Emmanuel, reminded us of Panim, right? To be face to face with God and to acknowledge like this is the house that we are literally in. And what does it mean to really be face to face with God, right? It's to encounter something. What does it mean to encounter something? It means for there to be a change, for there to be a shift. You don't encounter something and remain the same. You don't. And so I really want you to begin to reflect in this moment, like, what does it mean for my heart and the condition of my heart? What does the condition of my heart look like? You know, is it pleasing to God? Is it pleasing to self? And if it's pleasing to self, what are the necessary steps that you're going to take in order for it to no longer be pleasing to self, but to literally replicate and to look like how God wants it to look like, you know, or to really envision this thing that we say, Lord, I want to be stripped of everything, every sense of hardened heart that I have. Let me be stripped of it. Everything that is no longer pleasing to you, everything that no longer excites you, everything that excites me but shouldn't excite me, strip me from that. Because what you're doing is you're stripping yourself from yourself and you're saying, let me encounter you the way that you want me to encounter you. Sometimes we see it all the time. People have encounters, whether real, whether fake. It's only God that knows, right? And sometimes we see that from you know, the encounters that are truly from the presence of God, there is an undeniable shift in that person. There's an undeniable change. It's not something that you have to say like, is this thing for real, for real? You see it. You know, and I always go back to this thing about, we say like, we're marked men, or be a marked man, right? But to be a marked man is to really be established in his steps, not in your own steps. To be a marked man means to understand that glorification is literally glorification to God. That is the only person. Like, it's glorification in understanding who he is, what his presence does for you, what the Holy Spirit is going to do, how you encounter the Holy Spirit to literally not just move you, but to move others. And so the reason why the condition of the heart is important is because there is no burden if your heart is hardened. There is no burden if your heart is structured in a way for self. There is no burden if your heart is half flowing with blood. Like, there's no burden. Do you get what I mean? Like, if your heart is literally, I guess, like, temporarily on this journey, you're gonna fall off. You're gonna get tired. Like, when people say, like, for example, I'm going to use business as an example. You've got people who really have a desire to have a certain business, right? And then you get the people who see that, rah, these people are doing this business and it's making them money. I'm going to do this business and make money, right? But the one who has a desire to do the business because that's passion, right, sees a better fruit than the one who's just doing it for finances. Does that make sense? And so it's the same thing with God. Like, you can't, the one who has a desire for God will see the move of people for God. The one who has a desire for people doesn't necessarily see the move of God. God is always God can use anyone, right? But the thing is, what we need to remember, and this dropped on me this morning as I was getting ready, is like, God doesn't need me. I need him. And so if you come here thinking, yeah, God needs me, God's gonna use me, yeah. sorry. But yeah, like, if you come here thinking like it's about you, you'll be so shocked. Because God's just gonna sit down. And that's what you're gonna do. And the thing is, God will use men who are obedient to his voice. And so, and I really want us to get that. God will use men who are obedient to his voice. And earlier you heard me say that we can all hear from him. But it's about those who are obedient to his voice. And so when you see a brother or you see a sister getting elevated to another level, don't ever envy that position, because it comes with a certain level of obedience as well as sacrifice. And so when it's your time of obedience and sacrifice, elevation will come. It might not look the same, and it's not meant to look the same, right? Like, I play a role in my house and my husband plays a role in his house. It doesn't look the same, and it's not meant to look the same. There might be agreements where there's things that look the same, but that's through communication. So it's the same thing with God. Begin to communicate with him. What do you want this to look like? What should my obedience look like? What should this journey look like for me? Not because you've seen someone do it and they made it on the Panim Instagram. You want to be there too, you know? Like, it has to be like, that was actually a bad example, but my point is, like, you have to do things not because there's going to be a wider audience. And I always say this, like, you have the people who serve and don't make any noise. And then you have the people who serve and make noise, right? And like I always say, like, you serve and make noise, sit down, because you've not understood the essence of serving, right? And I think it's easy. We can all get to that place because it looks nice, and it looks like, right, like you're doing something because you want to feel like you're doing something. That's just human nature. You want to feel like you're doing something. And there's nothing wrong with feeling like you are doing something, because we're all doing something. We're all playing a role. But let it come from a place of God acknowledging you, not you acknowledging yourself, or the person next to you literally saying like, right, yeah, you're doing great. There will be times of praise, but there will be times of patience as well. Patience literally in his presence. Patience to understand who he is. Patience in learning the little intricate things. Patience that even when you do a brilliant job, like, so? You know, so? Because we all go to work and perform like the best that we can, like, or we're meant to, because that's our job description. But when we come into the house of God, we also have job descriptions. It's just not outlined, right? But we're all meant to be, well, yeah. we're all meant to be people that have job descriptions in the presence of God and outside the presence of God. That's what I want us to understand. That as believers, there is a job description for us, right? And in us having job descriptions, we're meant to execute them to the best of our ability, which means that when your neighbor notifies you like, rah, like, I'm going out to evangelize today, it's not like, oh, but why? Like, Pastor Jen never said anything. Pastor Efwa never said anything. They're not meant to say anything. It's meant to be who you are, right? We're meant to just do things because that's what God is calling us to do. I'm not saying step outside of order. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying acknowledge what God is speaking to you about and move accordingly. Don't move from a place of entitlement. Don't move from a place of like self-proclamation or from a place of where you really have to, like, you think you're above others because maybe it is now your time of praise. Like, none of us are above anyone. We're all the same in God's eyes. Like, we're all literally his servants, and he will use us as his mouthpiece. He will use us as his vessels, right? If we make ourselves available. But the moment we step outside of that, he will literally correct us in a way that is almost painful. Because you will now, those are when the questions come of, God, but haven't you seen my service? God, haven't you seen my heart? You haven't seen your heart. Right? And so as we continuously walk and we say, correct me, even when I don't see the things that I need to be corrected by, correct me, correct me, correct me, correct me. When we have that understanding, it's so much easier to be corrected. Because now we don't operate from a place of offense. We don't operate from a place of thinking that we were entitled to something that we're not entitled to. What we all believe and what we all should really, really want to be established is the kingdom of God on earth as well, right? And so when we come with that understanding that we want to see the establishment of the kingdom of God, it means that we understand that correction will come. And correction won't always look cute, because the condition of our heart is no longer from a place of like our own understanding, but it's now from a place of the flowing of blood must take place in order for this to keep pumping, which means that there's going to be many different things that must take place for my heart to be in right standing with God. Right? And so when my heart is in right standing with God, I no longer look at me as the one who is worthy of anything. I now look at God as the one who will make me the one who will serve him to then be worthy. But not from a place of I'm going to serve him so I'm worthy. Does that make sense? Right? And so burden comes from that place. Burden comes from that place. This is not a different word from what Pastor Effa preached. This is just from a different avenue. And it's a new understanding that we could have got excited last week about the burden that we have for God and for his people, but we miss it if we do not get our heart in the right place. Because we're operating from a place of self. Don't come and say you have a burden for someone you don't have a burden for. Like, that's just the reality. There are things, I'm telling you, the things Pastor Reverend Nee burdens for, some of them are not my burdens. Because you have to know your battle. You have to know your battle. What he has capacity for, and God is going to give him the strength for. Maybe me, I'm not in that place, or I'm not yet ready to avail myself to be in that place. And that's okay, right? But start with what you have. And as you start with what you have, you get capacity for more. But if you try to be the person next to you who already has the capacity, you're now going to run to God and say, God, why me? He's going to say, I didn't ask you, my friend. I didn't ask you. but you wanted to do up. Yeah, we all have a burden. Pastor F was burden in prayer alone. It's 30 hours, right? Some of us, we can do 10. Some of us also can do 5. Some can do 1, right? Start with what you have and build momentum from there and build capacity from there. But let it be from a pure heart, right? Not from a place of, yeah, this is what they're saying, so I'm saying it too. It's good to like psych yourself up. Well, I shouldn't say psych, but you get what I mean. Like to encourage yourself. But in reality, you have to be truthful to yourself. Change only comes when you're truthful to yourself. And the thing about Christ is he is the truth. And you can't, like, it's like people always say, like, you can't finesse a finesser, right? You can't try and fool the one who knows the truth, because he is the truth. So I set my examples today. I promise you, I haven't even told you guys, but my laptop's actually dead. So some of my notes are already gone. But God is funny. God is funny. So yeah, I say this all to say that it's the Holy Spirit that will continuously be your teacher if you allow him and if you allow it. Like, if you allow him to move you, if you allow him to teach you, you no longer stand on your own. Like when you walk alongside the greatest teacher, it's no longer about you. It's no longer about what you knew or what you know. It's now about him. It's now about his ways. It's now about everything he is saying concerning you. It's now about every form of direction he has given you. So you don't do things and you don't operate from a place of what you know or what you've even understood before. But it's now from a place of, this is what I now understand about what you're saying to me. This is what I now understand about what you want me to do. Holy Spirit, who do you want me to speak to today? Holy Spirit, who do you want me to even encounter today? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to present myself today? Holy Spirit, what should my speech be like today? Holy Spirit, who should I forgive today? Holy Spirit, that one was a big Holy Spirit, you know, I'm actually offended by this person's actions and I feel like I've forgiven them. But Holy Spirit, reveal to me the seeds that need to be uprooted. Holy Spirit, reveal to me the things that are ugly that I think are quite cute. Holy Spirit, reveal to me the things that don't actually resemble you when people encounter me. Holy Spirit, reveal to me the things that actually allow people to run from you because they've encountered me. That's a harsh one. Because just because you're a believer doesn't mean you haven't steered people away from God. From your very behavior, your very nature. Me, I'm transparent. My tongue used to be very slick. I still have moments, right? It's a work in progress. I'm not going to stand here and say, because I think I'm a sharp person. I was in an environment, you had to be sharp, right? And so when you're sharp, you're always thinking about what to say next because you're sharp. So I always saw it as like, I have something to say because I'm sharp, yeah? But when you come into the presence of God, the things that you think are good, he will uproot and literally allow you to see, like, yes, maybe it is a good thing to be sharp, but it doesn't mean you always need to be sharp with your tongue, right? And so that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes you think even in your truth, there's a way in which you can deliver that truth, right? And so it's you have to ask the ugly questions, the questions that make you feel uncomfortable, The questions that are actually going to provoke a different character from you. Because if you sit there and if I stand here thinking that my character is the best, you've missed it. Because we all have a work to do, and there's something in all of us that can be improved, right? And so ask those questions. So as we begin to close, I really want us to ask God these things. Begin to do a work in me so that I can be of use in the work that you set before me, right? So if we can begin to stand.